Midday Report with Mandy Wiener on 702.
As South Africa bids farewell to Andrew Bilangeni, in the United States, Congressman John Lewis is being remembered as a civil rights icon who transcended politics to become an American hero. Lewis died last week at the age of 80 after being diagnosed with cancer. He was the conscience of the Congress. He's lying in state for 2 days before being buried in a private funeral. And there are many parallels to be drawn between the loss of both these great men who were the moral compass of their respective countries. And one of those who made the journey to Washington to pay tribute to the son of tenant farmers from rural Alabama was former U.S. Ambassador to South Africa, Patrick Gaspard. He's now the president of the Open Society Foundations. And I spoke to him last night about the legacy of both John Lewis and Andrew Bilangeni.
Why did you choose to leave New York to travel to Washington? And tell us about the atmosphere, the experience, and how Washington is remembering John Lewis.
Well, Mandy, first, thanks of all for having me on. It's great to be interviewed by you and to be able to have a conversation with my friends at 702. John Lewis was an extraordinary figure who I had the privilege of knowing ever since I was a younger person coming up in my activism, both my issue-based work and eventually my electoral and government-based leadership as well. And throughout my journey, he was always kind enough to put a charitable hand on my shoulder to guide me, to steer me, as he did for many young activists and many public servants. But of course, he is an iconic figure in the history of the U.S. And someone who people around the world hold up as an example of what it means to sacrifice, to give all of yourself in order to improve the democratic conditions of others in your world. The word stalwart is often used in South Africa, stalwart, to describe a generation that gave the last full measure of themselves. And I would use that word for John Lewis. So the atmosphere in Washington, D.C. has, of course, had an air of somberness to it because he's no longer with us. But there's also a sense that this is a life that was fulfilled, that was rich, and deserve celebration. There are these extraordinary lines, Mandy, outside the Capitol in the U.S. that just wrap around for several blocks, winding like the longest snake in the world of average Americans, black, white, brown, young, old, who are coming together and who are saying this life mattered, and this person made a contribution that's made it possible for all of us to see a more perfect union in our country. And so we've got to come and salute that. When I went and paid my tribute, former Vice President Biden and presidential candidate Biden also came through, and I had an exchange with him where he just, you know, said that all of us need to understand the debt that we can never truly repay to John Lewis. So extraordinary man in a remarkable arc of life.
John Lewis was described as the conscience of the Congress, the elder statesman, if you like. And you can't help but draw parallels with our loss in South Africa this past week of Andrew Bilangeni, who was the last remaining Rivonia trialist. We're really losing the institutional memory, but also the moral compass, both with someone like Andrew Bilangeni and John Lewis as well.
That's a perfect comparison. Andrew Bilangeni and John Lewis shared a number of traits. Neither one of them was the drum major. Neither one would be the person who was at the very head of the parade. They were deferential to other leaders. For John Lewis, that was, of course, Martin Luther King. For Andrew Bilangeni, that was, of course, Nelson Mandela. But each of them made a fierce contribution. You never doubted where either one of them stood on core issues. John Lewis, of course, famously was the last surviving speaker from the March on Washington. Andrew Bilangeni, when he passed away, was the last survivor of the Rivonia trial. Their lives followed a similar arc in that both of them got to express their beliefs through public service, and they did it with an unswerving integrity. Each of them called out corruption where they saw it. They called out evil where they saw it. We're not afraid to name it as such. And they all held up an ideal, a North Star for all of us to march towards in our day-to-day lives, and if we should be blessed in our service to others as well. So the similarities are there. Mm-hmm. I also want to note for the South African audience, it's really important to know that for John Lewis and his generation of strugglers for Black lives in the U.S., that South Africa always loomed large for them. Think about this for 1 second, Mandy. In 1966, when he was such a very young man, John Lewis took it upon himself to go and be arrested occupying the South African embassy. 1966, not 1986, when I came along with my generation of anti-apartheid activists, when by then we had global solidarity, which was much safer. John Lewis, a Black man, young Black man in the 60s, to go and do that and be arrested in that period and brutalized in that period in defense of not just Black American lives, but the connection to diaspora and the defense of the Black majority in South Africa who were under the most degrading circumstances. That shows extraordinary vision, extraordinary fortitude and solidarity. And I can tell you, as somebody who got to spend time with John Lewis in South Africa, that he felt as if he managed, with his modest contributions, to bend the arc of the moral universe for justice in South Africa as well. So I hope that my friends in South Africa appreciate that this is a loss, not just for Americans who crave justice and equality, but for South Africans as well, who he felt uniquely connected to.
It's so important that you remind us of that, and that we acknowledge it as South Africans, that John Lewis and his generation played such an important role so early on. Later on in life, he was very outspoken of Donald Trump. Trump said he wouldn't be visiting the Capitol to pay his last respects, and one imagines John Lewis would be okay with that. And it's interesting because it reminds me again of how outspoken Andrew Mlangeni was of Jacob Zuma, and how important it is for people like John Lewis and Andrew Mlangeni to be outspoken of the leaders of today.
It's terribly important. So I got to participate in a conversation with Andrew Mlangeni in Lily's Leaf. While I served as ambassador, a talk was organized in Lily's Leaf about what the struggle generation could contribute to the new generation of activist leaders in the country. He was there. He participated in it. It was the second time that I had an opportunity to engage with him. And he was, of course, sharp as a tack, but he had a kind of clarity about integrity, a clarity of what servant leadership should look like. And he did not hesitate in the least to call out the corruption. And this is what was interesting to me about it. He said that people need to understand that corruption in and of itself is deeply problematic, but that the way he saw it being exercised in South Africa at that time meant that there was a clear robbery of resources that should be available to the most vulnerable people in the country and to the next generation. So he understood the powerful socioeconomic implications of that corruption. It was an important principle for him to organize around. In the United States, John Lewis said very clearly that he would not attend Donald Trump's inauguration because he did see him as an illegitimate figure who was, in John Lewis's estimation, profoundly corrupt, who would use the office for his own benefit and benefit of his own personal business and familial interests. He saw him as somebody who said degrading things about people of other races. And he saw him as somebody who was diminishing the credibility of the United States in the world. For John Lewis, that was unchanged during the presidency. So he would not shed a tear about this president not attending his memorial service. And in South Africa, I hope that the current generation, not just of young activists, but public servants, are taking up the example that was been given, provided to them by that whole Rivonia generation, who not only sacrificed of themselves, but said that integrity has to be part and parcel of what it means to have the privilege to serve in office.
Ambassador, John Lewis's departure comes at a precarious time for America. Soaring COVID numbers, criticism of management of the pandemic, and in the run-up to an election as well. How crucial do you think the loss of the conscience of the Congress and of politics in America is for the country as a whole? And how would you describe the current atmosphere in the States?
You know, that's just such a fantastic question, Mandy. You have a really good sense of what the ecosystem is like right now, the political ecosystem is like in the States. This is a time where one really does not want to lose voices like John Lewis's voice. But I will tell you, I'm so tremendously impressed by the leadership that I'm seeing right now, not just in the halls of Congress, but on the streets of the U.S., young people who are saying, we are a constituency that you are going to be accountable to. We're not going to subscribe to your disinformation. We're not going to be fooled by your politics of division. Instead, we understand the things that bind us together, and we have a vision for the kind of governance that we believe our communities need. COVID has been the great revealer. It has blown open the curtain that shows us disparities that exist across communities. It's not a surprise to me and so many other of my friends who are in public health that African Americans in particular have suffered disproportionately under COVID in terms of the percentage with the illness, the percentage who have died. We've seen how this has devastated Black and brown communities in the U.S. On the healthcare metric, but also economically. John Lewis, if he were here, would be pressing for urgent solutions to this. And I have to tell you that I'm just impressed with this generation that I'm seeing in Congress who are saying that it's not fine for us to have two separate systems of healthcare in this country, two separate systems of employment in this country, and two separate kinds of citizenship. And so they're taking up their tools of legislation and they're applying them with the fierce urgency of now. And they're doing what both John Lewis in our country and Andrew Melengeli in your country said was the next step that had to be taken in civil and human rights, which is to pivot to this question of economic inclusion and economic justice. And I think that we have a generation in the halls of Congress and in the parliament of the streets that are prepared to do that.
Ambassador, you've been amazing. Thank you so much for your time and for your insights and for sharing all of that experience and knowledge with us.
Well, thank you for having me, and thank you for being such a powerful advocate and voice on the air. Appreciate you.
That's the former ambassador from the United States to South Africa, Patrick Gaspard there. What a poignant, insightful interview. Just reflecting there on the life of both Andrew Melengeni and John Lewis.